Like to turn your attention to Isaiah, the 17th chapter. I feel so strongly about this message this morning. In fact, I put this message together while I was in Mexico. God prompted me. And I believe that during this message, if you get to the point where you feel like, you know, now's my time to be healed. Right. Now's my time to be delivered. Don't wait for this altar to be opened. Demonstrate to God how serious you are about getting what you need from Him. So in Isaiah 17 and verse number 11, it says, "In the day shalt thou make thy plants to grow, and in the morning shalt thou make thy seed to flourish. But the harvest shall be a reap, a heap in the day of grief and of desperate sorrow." The good days, the pleasant days, wonderful. But where you really get your substance is the day when you have trouble, the day of desperation. And then if you go to Mark, the 5th chapter, familiar scripture in Mark 5 and 25. "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and has suffered many things of many physicians, and has spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." Frustrating. Been there? Been to 8 specialists. They're still not sure what the problem is. "When she had heard of Jesus," amen, "came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said in herself, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountains of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing." Somebody want to touch Jesus this morning? "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" That's what church should be about, folks. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word and allow your presence to move in this place and on every individual. God, don't allow us to leave the way we came. You know what our needs are before we ever ask, and you can attend to those needs this morning as your spirit speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This message requires a response. Amen. So if you see my left hand go up, you might want to say, "Hallelujah." My right hand, "Jesus." You know. Glory to God. Years ago, I preached a message on desperate for God. Not only did I preach it here, I preached it in a lot of different places, even in other countries, because there was a response to it. And while I was in Mexico, God prompted me to preach part two of that, going in a completely different direction. God reminded me about 2 years ago when I was down in Mexico, I lost my wallet. Such a good feeling, you know. I had not only all my money in it, but all my identification, all my credit cards, my tourist visa. You can't leave without your tourist visa. They just won't let you leave. You can get to the airport, but you'll never get on the plane without your tourist visa. And without it, I would not be able to come back home. I remember tracing my steps. I went to the hotel lobby and I asked them, and I went to a grocery store that I had gone to several times to find out whether or not they found a wallet. And people were very sympathetic. They saw the expression on my face, the desperation of, what am I going to do? And I did find it. I was able to come home, as you probably can tell. And the amazing thing is, I found my wallet where I put it. I hid it in a special place under some clothes, you know, so I wouldn't lose it, you know. But I'll never forget the feeling, the panic, perhaps standing in a foreign country forever. Is it possible that we could lose our identity as apostolics and never be able to make it home? I put it in a safe place, and, you know, I know who I'm supposed to be, but, you know, I don't know if I really have it anymore, because we were careless with the most valuable thing that we possess, and that's our identity. What could have gone through the minds of the five virgins who ran out of oil and weren't permitted to go with the groom? Perhaps there's somebody sitting here this morning who thinks they're all right, but they lost their identity. The enemy wants us to lose our identity, because without it, we'll never make it all the way home. I keep my wallet and my passport with me all the times, especially if I'm traveling now. We are apostolics no matter where we go. You go on vacation, you're still an apostolic. See, we don't do this for each other. We do this for God. We don't do this just so we can come to church and look the part, but we do it at home. We do it wherever we go, because we are identified as a child of the King. I'm so grateful for all of the accounts of desperate people that are in the Bible, like Hannah in 1 Samuel, who desperately wanted a child. She wanted a child so bad that she poured out her soul before the Lord. In fact, the priest Eli didn't understand what was going on in her life, and he thought she was drunk. There's some people who come to church and they're so desperate for something that other people don't understand what's going on. Why don't you control that individual? What about David, a man after God's own heart, who desperately wanted to come face to face with God, to appear before him? Take a look at Psalm 42. Verse number one, as a hart or a deer panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Did you feel that way this morning when you were getting dressed? I can't wait to get to church. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Hallelujah. Friday's here, but Sunday's coming. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them, to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy days. Hallelujah. We need each other. What about the Shunammite woman? She had a desire for a son, and God's servant said, hey, a year from now, you're going to have a son. And then it wasn't too long after that, the child had grown, and then he died, perhaps of heat stroke. She went after the man of God. She grabbed him by the feet. She started to sob, and the servant, Gehazi, he tried to stop her, but she would not be stopped because she wanted her son to be alive. What about Paul? He was able to go to the third heaven. How many's been there? But he was desperate to get a hold of God, that I may know him in the power of his suffering. Stay out of the way of a person who's desperate for God. When an entire church is desperate for God, not just, well, we'll have a nice little service. When people are desperate for God, hell itself has no influence. There is miracle after miracle, demonstration of God's Spirit over and over. We can't get to the place where we'll settle for something less, because we've been in this thing for 40, 50 years, folks. The word desperate comes from the Latin word desperitas. It means one who has lost hope. To be desperate without God is to know that you're lost. I'm not talking just about a sinner who walks into the house of God, but somebody who knows they're lost. They're not where they're supposed to be in God. And now you recognize, I've lost my identity. I've lost my salvation. It's the prodigal son who finally came to himself while he's eating with the pigs. I had it better. It's someone drowning in debt or drowning in problems that they know they can't fix when they realize God's the only hope. I can't do this by myself. I've tried everything and everything's failed. I've got to try Jesus. When I was about 6 years old, I remember it as clear as yesterday. I was at a lake with my parents. I didn't know how to swim yet, but I walked out, and then all of a sudden there was a ledge, and I was over my head, and I was drowning. I remember distinctly that I had gone under at least twice, and then someone grabbed me and pulled me up and saved my life. I remember how desperate I was for air, to get one more breath. We sing the song, "You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread, my daily bread. You're the very word spoken to me, and I am desperate for you." I wonder when the last time we were desperate for God. Get me to God. Get me to God. And as strangely as it is, it's only when we have this terrible problem or situation in our life. But why can't we be desperate for God when everything is going well in our lives, you see? Church, it is a person desperate that attracts God. God is attracted to man's hopelessness, and I can't do it by myself. And God's saying, yes, now I will come to you, you see. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities." Really? "In reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." It seems like God is right there when we have no hope of doing anything else. Amen. Veronica is the name that tradition places on the woman who had the issue of blood. Later, she is thought to be the same woman who broke through the crowds while Jesus was carrying his cross to wipe the blood from his face. What compassion. I don't care what anybody else says. I want to comfort my God. She had an issue of blood, possibly a fibroid cyst or maybe even ovarian cancer. She was a very, very sick woman, put up with these symptoms for 12 years without any kind of relief. You can imagine her hopelessness. She was weak. She was completely affected. All of her relationships, her ability to worship was completely gone. She couldn't go into the temple. She was unclean. She was an outcast. She couldn't come near the ministry. It was against the law. What she was doing when she reached out to touch Jesus, she could have been put to death for. This woman suffered much at the hands of the local physicians who didn't know what they were doing in the first place, but charged her. The Jewish Talmud suggests no less than 12 different cures for that condition at the time. One remedy was to take three pints of Persian onions and boil them in wine. Drink it all at once, even as hot as it is, and then say, "Arise from thy flux." And then she was to hold the cup in her right hand and let someone come up behind her and scare her. You ever hear these commercials about these wonder drugs, and then they list 45 things that could happen, including you could die? Have we advanced at all? Maybe you'd be better off taking three onions and boil them and have somebody scare you into health. She spent all she had on baseless cures. People spend all they have to be happy, to be content, to feel secure. Enter into things that will kill them just so they could have fun. But desperate people will do desperate things. They'll enter into an operation that could kill them just so they could be well. Drug addicts will steal and rob just for one more fix. Alcoholics are the best liars in the whole world, and they hurt the very people that they love. Why? They're desperate for one more drink. Anybody desperate this morning? I believe this woman lost all hope until she heard about a man. His name is Jesus. Word had spread of all of the miracles that he had performed, and with a "what do I have to lose" mindset, she went looking for Jesus. I did that. Did you? Let me tell you, desperate people hear what they choose not to hear years ago. This woman lived in the same region where Jesus had been raised, and she could have heard the stories of the young boy who confounded the Jewish priests, heard all of the stories of the things that he was, and perhaps the stories of his birth with signs from heaven. But all she heard was before she got sick, and it didn't mean anything to her. It just fell on deaf ears. I heard about Jesus for years, and so did you. Nice stories, men who would get up behind a pulpit such as this and do book reports, you know, about all that's in the Bible, but it doesn't have an effect on you. It was something that happened 2,000, 4,000 years ago, but it has no effect on you today. How many people have driven by this church and gave no thought to coming into the church at all? How many people, including myself, were witnessed by someone of the miraculous, all the great moves of God that were happening in God's church, and really, I don't want to hear it? Well, that's for people who have problems or great needs. But I can take care of myself until one day you realize you can't take care of yourself. You can't get beyond this one. Now, they searched out that radical churchgoer that years ago talked to him about a church that has spectacular things and miraculous things happen. And now all of a sudden, traditional religion isn't important anymore, but let's get to that radical individual who really had an experience with God. Tell me more about what goes on there, wanting to hear what they didn't want to hear at one time. People who never challenged the traditions of religion now have an open ear to what more is there. And ears to hear what has never been heard before. It was at the time that I had my first experience, physical touch from God, that I now wanted to pick up this book and find out more about the God who just got so personal with me and touched me. Now I need to know more about it. Before, it was fine just looking at the book and knowing God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believed in God. That's enough. Don't interfere with my life. People who were taught you don't have to get all emotional in church now have tears streaming down their face, and they really like it. I couldn't wait for the tears to come. Couldn't wait for the touch. I've heard people say, if God really wants to heal me, well, he'll just heal me. I don't even have to pray. Really? Tell that to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Was there anybody else that got healed that day? How desperate are you? When a person really gets desperate, old religious traditions and quiet services just go out the window. Hallelujah. Oh, don't get to that place where I've heard it all, I've heard that preached, I know what the Bible says, and now let's just be quiet and sit down. You may not make it. They don't even care what other people think. I don't care what someone's sitting next to me. I don't care what my relatives. It doesn't matter about the people at work. You know what? I need to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. I remember teaching a Bible study to some people who had a shop next to our clock store, and they showed interest. I remember fasting for 3 days and not drinking anything for an entire day because I was so desperate for them to get a touch from God. I remember coming to a Wednesday night service with them, and this guy would not get out of my car. He said, I've got to go back to the church and get baptized in Jesus' name. Woke up the pastor in the middle of the night to get baptized. Why? He was desperate to get saved. Now, I can do it next year, next month. No. Hallelujah. Amen. Desperate isn't satisfied with just hearing about a miracle. It's demanding the experience of what you heard. If it happened then, why can't it happen for me right now? Hallelujah. Her story begins with a huge crowd. Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, is asking Jesus, could you come to my house because my daughter is sick and she's about to die? And in the midst of this great crowd, this very, very sick and weak woman makes up her mind that she was just as important as the ruler of the synagogue. You see, God's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of hopelessness and desperate people. Always shows up. Desperation drives a person to do things that they never thought they would ever do before. Raise their hands, yell out. Clap your hands in church. Yes! I'm desperate. I want to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. They become fanatics. How about four brothers? So desperate to see someone healed, a paraplegic, that they tear off. I'll fix the roof later. I just want to get to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm sorry if I've offended you. I just want to get to Jesus. Desperate people don't want to just see Jesus. Desperate people want Jesus to see them. Right here, God. Right here, God. Come to me, God. You see, it says, I will do whatever I have to do to get to a place that I have never been before. Hallelujah. A place where time stops. And you're so paralyzed by the presence of God. I prayed for 2 months to get the Holy Ghost. Already baptized in Jesus' name, but 2 months I prayed for the Holy Ghost. I dreamt about getting the Holy Ghost. I'd wake up thinking about the Holy Ghost. I'd go to bed thinking about the Holy Ghost. It occupied my mind all of the time. But one Sunday night, I was so determined to be filled with God's Spirit that I was not going to leave the church. Have you ever gotten to the place where you were so desperate, so determined, I am not leaving here, God, until you touch me? My old pastor sought for the Holy Ghost for 9 years. Unthinkable. 9 years, wore out most of the saints in the church that he was going to. People would watch him go to the altar and turn around and go someplace else because it was futile. It didn't seem like they were getting anywhere until then there was a men's conference. And at that men's conference, he came to the altar. So determined, so desperate to get the Holy Ghost. That not only did God fill him with the Holy Ghost, but when he turned around, nobody was left in the entire auditorium. And when he finally got to the place where they were having lunch, somebody said, "What do you do for a living?" And he couldn't speak English. Desperate. On the day you seek me, With all your heart, have you lost the desperation for God? Are we just playing church, or are we really the church? You see, desperate faith will receive what you have never received before. What an unemotional prayer will never receive, what an ordinary church will never ever get, what an unemotional prayer will never accomplish. This woman's faith produced others who were seeking the same kind of miracles. People, they would lay themselves in the shadow of Paul, knowing that they could be healed. They would bring handkerchiefs and aprons to Paul to be blessed because they wanted to be healed. Who does that? What ordinary religion would say that's acceptable? But there's one more person who I would consider the king of desperation. Turn to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth or exhibited his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. Hallelujah. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Unthinkable desperation. How desperate was God for relationship, for you and for me, that he's willing to suffer all of the pain, all of the persecution, all of the shame, all of the mockery for 33 years. Why? Because he was desperate for a relationship with you. Are we that desperate for a relationship with God? So desperate that he wanted to be so close that he decided he would live inside of us. If we really want to know Jesus, we too have to become as desperate as he was for us. This morning, perhaps life has brought you to a place of few options, like blind Bartimaeus, perhaps this woman with an issue of blood. Listen, I don't have any other options. I got to get to the one that I heard all about. Have you painted yourself in a corner? Have you gotten to the place where you see no other way out? Life has a way of bringing us to that kind of place. But church, if you become desperate during this message, it'll cause you to do something that you would never do before. It'll cause you to receive something that you have never received before. But we've got to get to the place. I can't sit there anymore. I can't keep going through this anymore. I'm desperate for you, God. Desperate for you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for desperate people. Thank you, God, for this experience. to desperate people. He's looking for someone hopeless this morning. He's ready to deliver somebody who's been fighting with something for years. 12 years, I'm still sick. No, today is the day. I'm going to touch him. Oh, God, I'm desperate for your touch. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.